We are living in unprecedented times.
A pandemic has reached all corners of the globe.
Racial tensions have escalated to new levels.
Natural disasters are growing in number and intensity.
Our world is shaking.
In times of uncertainty, one thing remains certain.
Our God, the King of Kings, is still on the throne.
His reign has no end and His plan is still good.
If we have ever needed an encounter with the hope of glory, it is now.
We invite you to ask.
We invite you to seek.
We invite you to knock on the doors of heaven.
Now is the time for you, for me, for all of us.
To experience.
To experience.
To experience.
To experience God.
Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. I hope that you have your note page. Those of you who came on campus, we had those available for you. We also provide those on our e-news blast, so that for those of you who want it, I heard this. Kev, I need it bigger. I just can't see that little piece of paper. I get it. They make these things called readers. I understand. Some of us wear them inside next to our eyeballs, but some of you need them. That's okay. But then I love that. It's like, you know what, Kev, forget it. I'll just print my own. I think some of you have gotten a little excessive on how big you're blowing it up, though, but it's okay. As long as your printer will handle it, there we go. But it also provides those of you online an opportunity to have that note page, and I think we're dropping that in the comments as well. She's giggling over there right now, so I don't know what she's typing in the comments. So we'll just have to hope that the Lord is gathering that for sure. But certainly thank you, Ms. Sheila, for reading our book. We'll be in Colossians chapter 4 again this morning. God has been working, my friends, all around you throughout your entire life, whether you've noticed His activity or not. That doesn't change that. And guess what? As we're learning, He invites us. God is inviting us into a personal relationship with Himself. Why, Kev? Why would He do that? So that you and I can join Him and experience Him at work. So in this message series that we're calling Experience God, that's what we've entitled it, what we're looking at are what Dr. Blackaby mentions in the workbook, in the study that's been around a minute. He calls out the seven realities of experiencing God and ultimately doing God's will. And so here's the thing, no matter what your story is, no matter how you think God thinks about you, we believe, or let me just go ahead and be honest, I believe that He loves you deeply, He knows you intimately, and He wants you to know Him and the peace and the power that He offers this morning. And it is in that conviction that I wanted to bring this series to us. And so we have already looked at the first three of those realities. Those are available online if you missed any of those. Number one, the first was is that God is always up to something. In other words, God is at work all around you all the time. The second was God is always pursuing you. He's chasing you down. He has not given up on you. And third, we looked at last week, is that God is always inviting you. And so today I want us to move into that fourth reality. And you can see it on your note page, or those of you who are really quick on the screens, you already saw the title of that. God is always speaking to you. Now it's starting to make sense why the Holy Spirit led Alan to pick some of the songs. Now you're starting to get it, right? Oh, he's so smart. It's like He knew what you were going to preach. God bless your heart. And I've been Southern my whole life, so yep, I know what it means. I do. But I don't think there's any better way for a preacher to begin a message than to tell a story about Sunday school. There were some children gathered in a particular Sunday school at this church, and the teacher, as great as she was, she just knew that she had a particularly hard lesson to teach on that Sunday. She was going to teach, of all things, Sheila, the Trinity. The students are already going, holy cow, Kevin's going to talk about the student ministry. Nope, you're good. Even though Atara was teaching on that just a couple of weeks ago. She was supposed to teach the children that God is one in three persons. I mean, how do you explain the concept of the Trinity to young kids when honestly theologians struggle and have for ages to get it right? Well, this poor teacher, she did the best that she could, but she wasn't really sure whether they understood. And so she did what every good teacher does. She resorted to artwork. It's funny. You can laugh. It's okay. When all else fails, what do? Teachers, you know this. You get out the construction paper and the crayons, right? You haul out the paints, the easels. Just don't bring out the glitter, okay? And let's draw something. And so her assignment to those children on that Sunday after the lesson, it was quite simple. She said, I want you to draw a picture of one of the persons of the Trinity. Now, kids, you can draw God the Father. You can do a picture of Jesus Christ the Son. Or you can show me your portrait of the Holy Spirit. Just choose one of the three. There was one little boy who found himself in quite the predicament that morning. He was just not good at art. Any non-good art people want to unite with me, okay? I mean, he could never draw anything so that once you saw it, you could recognize it. Others began busily scribbling away, and some were showing God the Father seated on this grand throne. He's looking around the room. God's sporting the Santa Claus-type beard over here, and others were drawing Jesus Christ teaching, and some drawing him healing, and all those kinds of things. But he knew. This poor dude, he knew if, man, he began to attempt anything like that, the teacher's probably going to say, boy, what's this mess? I mean, how do you do this drawing and not flunk out of Sunday school? I mean, what do you do? What do you do? So he thought and he thought, and then he had it. He knew something to do that not even he could mess up. And I just happened, as the very resourceful senior pastor as I am, I happened to bring a copy of this young man's artwork from his Sunday school class. I don't think he's in here today, so we're going to be okay. And so when it came his time, he stood in front of his class and he presented his picture. There's nothing wrong with your readers. It's a totally blank piece of paper. No image. Listen, not even a scratch, not a pencil mark, not an eraser, anything. And he said, this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And well, you know, we kind of laugh. Those of you who think it's okay to laugh in church, you were laughing. But I suspect that's kind of the way many of us think about the Holy Spirit this morning. He's kind of a blur, a haze, an invisible something who seems to hide more than he reveals himself. I would kind of suspect this morning that's our own image of what the Holy Spirit would be like. Just this unclear hint of somebody, somewhere, doing and saying something. But can I tell you this morning, nothing could be further from the truth. God is not a God who hides behind masks or who makes himself obscure. That's not our God. God speaks by the Holy Spirit to reveal himself. And that is the reality that we need to look at this morning. God addresses us, friends, in the person of the Holy Spirit and really sort of shows us and reveals himself to us. Now, our problem is we don't always recognize him. The Holy Spirit, for many of us, is just a blank page. A blank page. And although the Spirit speaks and shows God to us, in many ways He's still vague and abstract. Some of y'all are still trying to figure out what's on this piece of paper. It's kind of fuzzy. There's nothing to be seen here. All the marks have been put away. Okay? It's blank. I mean, seriously, I just took it out of the package right downstairs. I promise. There's nothing on it. But it's so confusing that some of us, when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, because we have not realized that right in front of us, friends, is the Holy Spirit speaking, and I declare in definite, in concrete, and I believe in very clear ways, and I want to lead us into that this morning. What I want to do, if you've got your note page, I believe there are four very, very clear ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to reveal God. Four very, very concrete, identifiable ways through which God is speaking. Now, Henry Blackaby, in his book, Experiencing God, he gives us he kind of words it like this. Let's see what Henry said. Henry says, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. I know that's a lot. It's a lot. So you know what would make this easier? If you join me in saying it. Back it up. Let's say it out loud together. Ready? God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, are those four things. In the closing chapter of the book of Colossians, this letter that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae lays out very clearly, I believe, these four things in a very special way. It's a very personal way because it comes from the great missionary Paul. And again, let me remind you, he's speaking from a missionary's prison cell. He's trying to wrap up his teaching to this church, and this passage just seems, it can seem like kind of an add-on to the main body of the letter, but friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, it is very revealing and it is very important. So let me walk you through those four identifiable ways that the Holy Spirit reveals God. Number one is this, very first, I want you to notice how Paul shows us that the Bible is God's key instrument to begin revealing Himself. So the Holy Spirit is revealed through the Bible. Write that in, the Bible. The pages, my friends, of this book are the starting point for us to know what God is like and where God is headed. Paul says to these Corinthian Christians, he says, look, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. And look, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Why? So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains, and pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. See, the Word of God, my friends, uncovers the mystery and reveals the truth of God. If you don't start here and let God speak here, you're likely going to get lost and confused. You see, before we had these handy-dandy little doofalitchies right here, some of y'all are not going to believe this. Some of y'all, the majority of you are going to, because I know your age. But before we had these handy-dandy little deals right here, that would help us with our directions in a car, we had, listen children, maps. Yes, books of them. You could fold them up, but it would never fold the same way twice. It was like a Rubik's. And the map would help you get directions. Now listen to me. Don't go find you Paul's maps and look at it and go, map, give me directions to Dunkin' Donuts. It doesn't work like that. That thing will not bounce out of the closet going, I'm the map. It doesn't work like that. You actually have to look at it. You know what? You got to look and see where you are, where you want to go, and then figure out. You're like going, oh my gosh, how archaic. It's called the scenic route for a reason. How many of y'all remember those days of traveling with maps, right? Or if you didn't have a map, what did you do? You knew somebody who'd been there, and you sat down with a piece of paper, and they said, hey, look, when you get to that third tractor, turn left. And then you're going to get to the big house with the brown shutters, not the one with the green shutters, and then you're going to turn. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're going to get to the four-way stop, and you're going to go straight, get to the caution light, and it's right there on the right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You'd write it down, and then there you go. I can remember the very first time that I drove by myself to Christy's parents' home in South Georgia. Do you remember that, Mama? Oh. Didn't have cell phones. Had pay phones. You're like, what? You still got to pay for that, too. It ain't free. Somebody's paying for it. But I realized, some of y'all are like, I don't understand. Highway 16 and I-16 sound alike, but they do not go to the same place. How do you know, Kip? Trust me on this. Trust me on this. Right? Because I thought I knew, I didn't have a map, and I forgot the directions. Now, I know what you want to ask. Well, did you call Christy and ask her? No! No! Which was not the smart thing to do, but I know that now. It's okay. But friends, here's my point. Some of us are trying to get to God without using the roadmap, without the right direction. Some of us are trying to hunch our way through this life. So we think that if we just come to worship and the preacher explains enough, we'll get by. I am not some monkey in a circus. This is not a production. I am not an actor. I'm a real dude. That's not enough. Some of us think that if we just can blunder along, that everything will just come by instinct. I literally have heard that out of somebody in this room's mouth. I'll figure it out when I get there. I mean, I just kind of go with instinct. Both of those statements are not true. That's just not so. We have to begin, my friends, with real knowledge. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. Friends, hear me. If I can't be any clearer, read this book. Read this book. That other garbage that you've got sitting on your nightstand right now by Danielle whoever, Tom whoever. Let's start with Paul, yep, yep, and Timothy, show enough, and Jesus all the way through. How about let's do some of that? God speaks through His Scripture because, look, listen to me. Let me be really clear. I want you to get here for Sunday school. Absolutely. I want you to be involved in some kind of discipleship group. Absolutely. Those are really fundamental because without those things, you are just traveling in the dark without a roadmap. With it, you've got a chart, you've got a compass that'll guide you through life. And God speaks to reveal Himself, number one, through Scripture. But I want to make sure you get all three that are still followed. So the second one is this. God speaks by the Holy Spirit. He does it through more than the Bible. He does it through prayer. Through prayer, God reveals to us who He is. Did you catch Paul's references to prayer through the passage when Sheila read it? Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. What is he doing? He is always wrestling in prayer. Can you see that in the Scripture? For you and that you would stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Look, this Christian named Epaphras wrestles in his prayers, Paul says, on your behalf, church, so that you can stand mature, be fully assured of everything that God is wanting to do. Love, just focus on that word for a second. Wrestles. Can you see it there on the Scripture? Wrestles. He is wrestling in his prayers. Wrestling means there's this struggling, there's this contending. Wrestling means that you're trying to impose your will on your opponent as he tries to impose his will on you. I dare say I got into a wrestling match with one of my professors in seminary one time. It was not a wrestling match on a gym floor, praise God. That would have been awkward. But it was a struggle over how a particular passage in the scripture should be read. Before you get really, really excited and proud of your pastor, you might want to hold on a second. In fact, this professor was teaching a course on these very scriptures that we're reading right now in Colossians. It was Colossians and Ephesians. It was a whole class. And hear me, though. I need to be very clear. He not only taught the class, he had written the book that we were using as the key curriculum text other than scripture for the class. Yeah, that was the textbook. So I found a mistake in his book. Or at least I thought I found a mistake in the book. And so in class, I said so. In front of the other seminary students. And some of these boys I know watch me after the fact just to check my theology. So Tony, when you're watching this later, you're going to remember this in this class because you remember we were there. And his answer was, for lack of a better term, it was classic. And so here's how it went. Mr. McCoy, when you have done as much study as I have done, and you have written a book on this course as I have done, then you can teach it the way you want to. But in the meantime, I'm the professor here. Oh! I didn't get what I wanted, but I learned something about that professor that day. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't win the argument, but my teacher revealed himself. Right? I may not have learned any new material, but I did learn something about that person just by wrestling with him at that moment. Friends, I want you to think about prayer like that. Prayer is an intense interpersonal struggle with the living God. And hear me, I know you, I know me. We are trying to have our way. But he wants us to know him. He wants us to see his way. He wants us to read his purposes. And so, friends, listen, through prayer, God will reveal himself and will give us the maturity that we need and give us the assurance that we absolutely need. God speaks through his word. God speaks through prayer. There is a third way that God speaks. Through the Holy Spirit, we are revealing some things that are happening here. God speaks through the Bible, but God also speaks through prayer, and God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through circumstances. Through the real, harsh realities of life. And some of you know that, you just didn't know it was God talking to you. You remember where Paul was when he's writing this letter? Do you recall the setting in which he was living? He was in prison, probably in Rome, there to stay until his death. Listen, maybe you have kind of forgotten or didn't know. His circumstances were very dismal. His prospects very bleak. His hopes dwindling away every single day as it marches on. Anybody in those circumstances would have wondered why it was happening and what's this all about, and God, how could you possibly use this? But you see, friends, Paul had an answer. Paul seemed to already know why he was there. Look again at the verse. It says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Church, Paul's imprisonment had a meaning in his mind and in his heart. He was resolute on it. He's in prison so that the mystery of Jesus Christ can be revealed to many. He is behind bars, locked up, so that the redeeming power of Jesus Christ can be shown and known. And as strange as that sounds, as unlikely as that feels, the wonder of it all is that Paul used his imprisonment circumstances. Paul tells us in one place that he witnessed even to the prison guards and won some of them to Jesus. He's right there in Caesar's household. Paul had found out that when your circumstances, can you hear me? That when your circumstances are not what you want them to be, they very well may be what God wants them to be. You didn't hear me, did you? Let me say it one more time. It's a good thing I wrote that one down. When our circumstances are not what we want them to be, it is very, very likely that they are exactly what God wants them to be. And that God will speak through those circumstances. You know, I went to a hospital not too long ago to visit someone. Found out that she was going to be there for an extended amount of time. I think it was going to be about 2 or 3 months. That's a long time to stay in the hospital. Long time. Long time to be away from your home, a long time to be away from your family, your church, your friends. And so as I'm going there and I had heard this news from her daughter, I'm fully expecting her to complain. I thought she'd be griping about how bad things were. I thought she'd be pretty irritated. But I get into a room and we're talking about that. Do you know what she said? At one point she said, "Pastor, I know God put me here for a purpose. Honestly, if you could pray for anything, I just need to find out what it is." Friends, that's what I'm talking about. That right there, God speaks through circumstances to reveal himself. Look, listen to me. She found out. She found out why she was there. And there was going to be a meaning in it, and there was a meaning in it. There was purpose in it. And God speaks by the Holy Spirit through circumstances. He gives us opportunities to use the circumstances that we come across in life to grow us and to bear witness for him. Some of you are uncomfortable today and you're blaming him instead of revealing himself and you showing him through it. Okay, well, I didn't choose it. Did at some point in your life, did you say, "Nevertheless, God, I give up my life for you"? Yeah, but Kev, that's not what I meant. Then welcome to lost, see in hell. No, Kev, I'm saved. Then you gave up your life for Jesus. He owns you. Suck it up, buttercup. I'm not a monkey. This is not a circus. I'm not an actor, and this is not a production. God has something for somebody in here right now. You need to hear something, and you're being stubborn. Right here, you know who you are. I'm hearing it. You're hearing it. Listen. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean God didn't do it. Well, God, Kev, what if it's bad? Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those. It may not be good in the moment, but bless God, my God's so big. I'm not sure yours is yet. My God's so big, he can bring good out of it. Kev, I don't see it. I didn't ask you if you could see it. I'm asking, will you trust it? Remember what Paul says. Hit it. "Remember my chains." He said it. That's what he said. I'm not denying where I'm at, friends. Remember my chains. Remember that I'm not living the way I would like to live right now, but by the grace of God, God's going to speak through these circumstances. And are you beginning to see? God is not silent, friends. The Holy Spirit is by no means some blank sheet of paper. God speaks by the Holy Spirit. He reveals himself through scripture, through prayer, through circumstances. And I'm here to tell you one more way. The Holy Spirit reveals God, number four, through the church. Through the church. But now when Paul tells us that God speaks through the church, I want to make sure that we get this. He doesn't mention an institution. He doesn't even label any kind of like a hierarchy. He does not claim, and listen, I'm going to be honest with you, no pastor should claim to be the only voice of God. What Paul does is he goes to a whole bunch of individual people. Separate, unique people, brothers and sisters in Christ, and he asks us to see God in them. Did you hear all their names when Sheila called them out? Did you hear all the things that Paul said about these people? Man, what an interesting collection of saints that must have been, right? I mean, wouldn't you like to have known Tychus? Described as someone who would encourage your hearts. He mentions Onesimus. We met him last week. Onesimus, who had to ask for some forgiveness from another church member, Philemon. Oh, I would never do that, preacher. And that's why God won't move, because you're holding us back. God's Spirit speaking through the life of the church. Paul mentions Mark and just sort of casually says, you know, you ought to welcome him. But remember that earlier Paul had written Mark off. Man, y'all kind of forgot that part. Mark had done him wrong. He kind of left him hanging high and dry. He deserted the missionary field. And now they've made reconciliation. Sounds like Paul is now hearing God speak through Mark himself. Friends, maybe I need to be a little clearer, so I'll dial it in just a little bit. You may not like some of the church folk, but God's going to use them anyway. And there's Epaphras, who wrestles in prayer, who works hard for the gospel. There's Nympha, who runs a house church right out of her house. What an amazing lady. There's Archippus, probably the son of Philemon, who is admonished to finish the things that you've promised to do. Man, what a motley crew that was. But what a wonderful crew, the church of Colossae. What a collection of ordinary people, making mistakes and blundering along, but through whom the Holy Spirit is speaking and in whom God is working out a miraculous kingdom work. Look, I frankly don't know what people do who are not enmeshed in church fellowship. I don't know where they get their emotional support. I truly do not. I can't imagine where you would turn when all of life's circumstances just seemingly go bad. But most of all, I don't know who tells them the truth about themselves. I don't know who else besides brothers and sisters in God's church family who will tell you the truth about yourself and still love you. I would not for one week, not one day, want to be outside the protective covering and arms and beyond the prophetic voice of God's church. I mean, where else can you get truth and experience the acceptance and the correction and the love all wrapped up in one package? God speaks through His church. No, my friends, God's not some blur. God's not some mere hint. God is not just some little whisper or some muffled, muted sound mumble and you got to try and figure it out. God's Holy Spirit is absolutely not just a blank sheet of paper. God speaks, friends. God speaks. Speaks by the Holy Spirit through His Scripture, through prayer, through circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself. To reveal His purposes and to reveal His ways. Friends, I want to make sure you understand we are never, ever, ever left in the dark concerning God's will. The one question almost every pastor says, what do you get asked more than anything? Well, other than why you got a tithe. The second most important question that everybody asks is, how do I know God's will for my life? Read the directions. Listen, He reveals it through His inspired word, the Bible. What if I don't believe that? Then you don't really want God's will. Don't pretend. Stop pretending. Because He unveils it right there by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We hear Him speaking to us in prayer, and He reminds us of the truth. We hear Him through the wise counsel of others. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. We see Him at work in our circumstances. All of that to say, I want to make sure you have your takeaway this morning before I find my seat. But more importantly, before we allow the Holy Spirit to continue His work, right here calling us out towards something. I want to make sure you hear me this morning, that every form of hearing from God must always be submitted to what God has already said in Scripture. Don't come to me saying, well, I know the Bible says this, but, friends, listen, get out of my face in Jesus' name. If it contradicts Scripture, God didn't say it. Well, I disagree. The door that brought you in will take you out, or I can roll out myself, but one of us has got to go. If this is not the foundation for which all of life is transformed and is lived out, somebody just tell me right here, right now, and I'll fix it. And it won't be going your way. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. The problem is, too many of us pretend. This is not group therapy. That's not what church is. Okay, I'm not here to make you feel good. Not my job. I'm here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Stop taking up space and get to work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friends, I understand it's hard. This hadn't been the most loving, compassionate, pastoral message. But friends, listen to me. Can you hear where God's at this morning when He's looking down at Lithia Springs? I am so thrilled that in the Scripture that Sheila read, hey, look, when you finish reading this, make sure you send it over to Laodicea. Oh, and make sure you get that letter and read it too. Wait a minute, which one was that? Man, y'all ain't hot, y'all ain't cold, y'all ain't figured this out. I'm going to just spit you out of my mouth. I'm so sick of you. God said that in the book of Revelation to Laodicea. Bunch of lazy folk. Well, we got our fire insurance. We good. Why Paul so mad? Jesus, tell us. Paul wasn't mad. Paul was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we don't know how much time we have. But I'm going to tell you right now, the world then, and definitely the world now, does not need more apathetic, complacent, wannabe, pretend Christians. We need to be sold out. We either all in or we're not in at all. It's time to stop placating. It's time to make sure that our name is checked off of a roster so that we can say we've done something. Because the only one who ever did anything that mattered was Jesus. And what did He do? He lived a perfect life. He went on a cross. He died, completely died, took on the sins of every single person. But bless God, He didn't stay dead. They put Him in that grave, but He didn't stay there. 3 days later, He rose up from the grave to prove that He's the power of all and end all. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father right here, right now. But I praise God. I believe if we could open the veil, we'd see He's standing right now, pleading for every single one of us, come meet me. Hear us speak. Be the church I need you to be. Be the saint I need you to be. Stop wavering between two opinions, because yours doesn't matter. If God said it, let it be settled today. Let it be settled. And I'll tell you what God does say. God says, I love you. Matter of fact, I love you so much I sent my son just for you, so that you don't have to perish and die. So friend, if there's never been a time in your life that you've accepted that Savior, today's that day. Stop wavering. Stop pretending that you can just pass it off and maybe next Sunday when I get everything squared away, when I get things fixed, got a couple of things I need to take care of. Today's the day for salvation, my friend. Today. Father, I thank you. That I can claim your word in John 14 to not let my heart be troubled. I trust in you, so I trust in God too. I trust in Jesus. I trust in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that ability to trust today. Without a doubt, Father, I know you're at work. Holy Spirit's working so hard right here. It's as thick as I've ever seen. God, that you would send a great revival and start with me. Holy Spirit, thank you for being real. Thank you for doing your work. All we declare right now, Father, we have heard you speak. Give us the strength to obey, to trust, to make that next step today. Father, as you've called, would we move? In Jesus' name, as you rise to your feet, you move as God leads.